How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're continuing on in our study in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 34. The Lord Jesus has just told them about how he's going to die, that he's going to be crucified. That then that crucifixion, that will be the means by which sinners will be saved. All that come to him will be drawn by him, because that's the need. That's the greatness of the depravity of man. It's going to take the drawing of the Lord. But the Lord is going to draw by the preaching of his word and the preaching of his gospel and the sowing of the seed of his word, that sinners would hear, that sinners would believe and trust, repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus. The people answer him in verse 34 saying, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever," John 12:34. "And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" They're saying that we see in the law that the Messiah, he's not going to die, but you're saying that being Savior or this Son of Man, that it's necessary for you to die. So that's a conflict in the Scripture. We don't see that. We don't understand that. Who is this Son of Man, they ask. Verse number 35, the Lord says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you." The light shining. The light was shining in his day. Matthew and Mark tell us about that and the fulfilling of the Scriptures there in Galilee of the Gentiles and the land of Zebulun and Naphtalim. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in the beginning of his ministry, that light had sprung up. He is the light. He is the light. And what comes from him is light. He says, "Yet a little while is the light with you," verse 35. "The light is here and present. Walk while you have the light, hear the light, see the light, believe the truth of what the light says and brings, lest darkness come upon you." Because see, if you don't believe the light of the Lord Jesus, his gospel, his words, his truth, if a sinner doesn't believe that, he will be found in darkness indeed. "Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And that's the way it is with people in the world, living to self. Oh, they're walking about and they've got great purpose and they've got great things that they pursue, but all of it is based on this earth. And you know what's going to happen to this earth? What's going to happen to this life? The Scripture tells and bears it out. The Apostle Peter and his epistles tell it, and plainly, that this world is going to burn up. This world is going to be dissolved. The works of this earth are going to pass away. And the only thing that sinners will have that will last for eternity is that which is sent forward in heaven. And it all begins by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Darkness will come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Oh, walk in the light of the Lord Jesus. Hear what he says. Verse 36, "While ye have light, believe in the light." While ye have light, believe in the light. Here at Olmsted Baptist Church, we've been proclaiming the light for 50-some years, and sinners need to hear about the light of the Lord Jesus. "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." Hear what the Lord Jesus says. He is light. John said at the beginning of his gospel in chapter 1, he's the light, and he has come and dwelt amongst men. He has come and fulfilled his ministry. He has come to make it possible by his atonement, by his sacrifice, by his crucifixion, his death, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and the resurrection of his body from the dead. He's made it possible that sinners like you and me can be saved. while you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. Believing in the light, believing in the Lord is the only way that you can be a child of God. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And so after this and dealing with these Greeks that came and had this question, the Lord no doubt answers the question that they have. He's focused upon that which the Father has given him to do. The ministry of the Lord is tapering down. He's not focusing on the multitudes now, but he's going to begin to focus on his church and then upon his death. Verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Listen, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Wow, boy, there's a boatload instruction there. The scripture in John tells the miracles that the Lord did, they were done in multitude. There had been no prophet, no man of God ever that had come and done so many miracles as the Lord Jesus, yet sinners wouldn't believe. He said, this is the fulfilling of what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied. In verse 38, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Isaiah had preached and preached and preached and preached and preached the glorious truth of God, the glorious even gospel of the Lord, that salvation was of the Lord, and that sinners, the nation of Israel, needed to turn to their Lord, their God, rather than to their own way. And Isaiah decries to the Lord, who's believed our report, Lord? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's what it has to be. It has to be revealed. It does. It's got to be revealed, sinner. Oh, I pray that it will be revealed unto you. That's the reason that Olmsted Baptist Church has this radio broadcast, that it might be revealed unto you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. That you need to repent of your sins towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the scripture says. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? It will be revealed. It will be revealed to some. There will be those that the Lord will save. Oh, and I pray that it would be you. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. What's that all about? It speaks yet again to the necessity that the sinner has of having the Lord. Oh, sinner, you need to cry out unto God for mercy. You need him. You need him in the worst way. You need him to heal your blinded eyes. You need him to heal and soften your hardened heart. The Lord, the hardening of the heart by the Lord is done just by the Lord doing nothing, or by the Lord showing his goodness and his greatness to others, and sinners that look on are hardened. Why is it so that against the Lord's people there are so many that are become vehement and adamant and want to do wicked and evil things to the people of God? Why is it that the Pharisees wanted to put Jesus, and why is it that the Pharisees wanted to put Lazarus to death? We had just read that in previous chapters. Why is it that they would want to put an innocent man to death? The man had been used by the Lord to show many of his power, and many were saved. The same chapter tells us here that in verse number 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus didn't do anything. Lazarus was a recipient of the blessing and grace of the Lord and being raised from the dead. And here, John tells us that spiritual blindness is fulfilled. because even the miracles were done, they did not believe. The prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And it says that the prophecy was fulfilled, that the Lord had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. A reference to Israel, but being fulfilled here in Israel again, there in Jerusalem. Sinners naturally won't believe. Oh, I pray that you would believe. I pray that the Lord would touch you and open your eyes and open your heart that you would believe. You need to understand. You need to see the Lord Jesus. And I find it interesting here in verse number 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Sinner, that's what you need to see, is you need to see the glory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus and God Almighty has been made out to be a big sugar daddy in our day. Not that he's God and creator of all and over all, but he's just been seen as kind of like a Santa Claus, a big Santa Claus that's done much damage to the way it is with God. God is not a Santa Claus. God is not a one to bail out sinners when they get in trouble and then go on and live their lives the way they want to otherwise when they seemingly have no trouble. It's not what God is. God's not a fire escape, but God is God Almighty, King and ruler of all, our great creator, and we're accountable to him. We have a great sin problem in that in our father Adam, we've inherited a nature that's just bent towards sinning, and there's nothing we can do about that. Sin is what's natural and normal for you and me. That's what we do. We're professionals at sinning. And when we sin, we just don't do wrong, but we do wrong against God. We do wrong against the law and the established law of righteousness of God. We sin against him, and he takes that very, very seriously. He will not allow sin ever to pass. And because of that sin, we're separated from God. It's caused a great chasm between God's creation, mankind, and God. We have no fellowship with the Lord. In and of ourselves, we are dead spiritually. Oh, we're alive physically. But as soon as we're born, we're heading towards death, aren't we? And that's all because of sin. And naturally, we don't want anything to do with God. Naturally, we hate God. But God has sent his word, sent his people and his prophets, has taken this wonderful book of the Bible that he put together, that he inspired 40 men over the course of 1,600 years to write this blessed book, the Old and the New Testament Bible, as we call it, the Old and New Testaments contained therein, all of it pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that came down and became a man so that sinners like you and I can be saved. And we're hardened, we're wicked, we're sinful. And our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, and he said, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. The revealing of your arm, the believing of your report is all in your hand. The opening of blinded eyes, the softening of hearts, it's all in your hands. Because you are God, and you are glorious indeed. Sinner, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.